Yeah, see? Yeah, that's the latest episode edited. Let's put it on Anchor FM and... Oh, hey, I got a message from Diomedes. Let's see. Will it be about this latest lore episode he promised me? Hey, Raymond, here's the text for the painting competition announcement. It's a bit silly, so feel free to adapt it if you want. I will adapt no silliness. I will go 200% into the silliness, because it's a new painting competition, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Infinititis. I am pleased to announce the Infinity Global League Painting Competition 2, Paint Harder. It's underway. It runs from the 10th of May to the 21st of June to coincide with the current season of the IGL tournament play. All painters of Infinity Miniatures are invited to participate in what some people are calling Miniatures Wargaming's hottest new painting competition. We don't know who those people are, but they're definitely not anyone officially connected with the Infinity Global League Painting Competition LEC or its subsidiaries like WIP12. We would never do such a thing. This time around, the winner from the first IGL painting competition is on the judging panel, which means your work will be 100% more judged than last time. We would like to publicly welcome Stein Arnold to the judging team. I'm told he's very judgmental kind of guy, so he should be good at it. Love you, Stein. Winky face. For more information, check out the rules in the At Hobby Competitions channel on the IGL Discord. Don't delay. Start painting today. Also, we like for new people to come on the show and talk about their favorite faction or the tournament they've went to or any other things related to Infinity. And just send us an email at whip12podcast@gmail.com and I will get you on the show. Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the WIP12 podcast. I am Raymond, and today I'm here with three guests. Some of you are familiar with, others aren't. So I got here Persan.
Hello.
Hello. And the brothers Evans.
Hey, what's up?
Who we all know, Mike from our Pan-Oceanian episode, and his brother is still a secret to us, because he's never been on the show, so... We only got one noob here. Say hello.
Hey, I'm Sneaky Snake.
Hi. So, you guys have been doing some fun narrative stuff in the form of Infinity Mercenaries, an RPG-orientated campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the original rules were posted by Lareon on the Corvus Belli forums in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I started playing it with my local players during the pandemic. It was difficult to schedule the games, but it was something that tingled my like old Necromunda / Mordheim taste for the games. So it was a small setup with experience, pretty random, but in and out in an hour. So that was great, felt great. Mm-hmm. Then later we put it on the TTS during the pandemic in 2021. And we've been playing this continuous league ever since for the last 18 months.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, we had made some small tweaks and changes to the rule set as we played, because in TTS we had some pretty competitive players, so everybody had their opinion on balance and non-unbalance. Mm-hmm. In the end, we were a bit annoyed with some randomness, so we tweaked things a bit.
Yeah.
Hop on that also, Perzan, there was kind of a desire to push it more towards kind of like the Necromundo direction of a stronger kind of like narrative and RPG elements.
Yeah.
So we ended up adding a lot more kind of like role play aspects as well.
Yeah, because I've been out of the loop a bit about this thing, so that's why I was very excited to talk about it. Because it piqued my interest when Person just shared between the mods a picture of a Daioh-kai on a motorbike who would go up versus a one of the nomad droids who also had a symbiomate. And that's like, all right, that's all in the mercenary game. We are having fun.
Oh, that's just the start of it. Can't wait to get to the characters that we're going to go over.
I think that was special because I am the organizer of the league. And to ensure that everybody gets their games, I usually run a buy team alongside my normal team. And that fight that you describe, I made a poster for it because it was the finals for the two teams and both the teams were my teams.
Yeah. So you're an organizer and winner. Yeah, that's the way to go.
I recruited Dre to play as one of the teams. He chose the one that he liked most. And then we added a twist that in the mid-game, if we roll, like most of the mercenary missions, they have like a random element. Like in the mid-game, you roll a die and there is like a 25% that nothing happens. And then 25% for some other occurrence happening, like there are three outcomes and one of the four outcomes is nothing happens. So we had a change that we switched the teams and exactly that happened and I lost.
All right, so there's a lot of kookiness going on in this mercenary campaign. So where, you had your origins. You're now going on for 1.5 years. So what is it, and what do you get into?
Okay, so to start with, everybody that is intended to play has to choose a sectorial or two sectorials for the team to draw their mercenaries from, and then the spec ops from one of those sectorials as normal to 12 XP. That's your captain. That's the boss. That's the representation of you on the battlefield or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, you are not allowed to use any profiles that cost SWC ever. They just don't exist for you. So a hacker have SWC doesn't exist, like an HMG doesn't exist for you. Instead, you gain some small number of SWC for each game you play, and then during the game, you from the earnings after the missions, you buy the guns and armor for your guns, so for your guys. So basically, you pick two different sectorials, and then you basically modify the guys as you see fit.
Right, mm-hmm. With what you scrap up during all those battles.
Based on kind of like how well you do or who you're facing can influence it, but you earn basically money for your contracts that you go on every week.
So how big is the army that you field?
It's 90 points right now.
Ooh.
and that includes the captain, the spec ops.
All right.
We started with 60, but in the end, it was just like a flash boost bot and like four mooks and like one Asawira. And it wasn't really tingling our interest that much. So we upped it a little bit, maybe a little bit too much. Maybe it should be 80. We're still like tinkering with this a bit. But right now it's 90.
What do we have the unit caps at right now as well? I don't know if that's changing for 1.4.
Yeah, you can only field six guys on the table ever. Oh. Yeah, and your team can include up to 10 guys, I think. And the reason to include more guys is basically to rotate the injuries, because if the player, if the merc doesn't play in the game, he heals an injury, and the injuries happen.
Yeah, something.
And do we still have the elite teams as well?
Yeah.
Yes, like I think that's one of the biggest changes introduced by the IGL version of the rules. Like I think Dre was a big proponent of that. The elite deployment allows you to field only four guys, and they gain more XP per game, and they gain a bit more orders. So basically,
you can challenge yourself.
You can basically include the big guys, right? Yeah. So you can include like heavy infantry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also a bit of a different emphasis and like in terms of role play, right? This is really like a strong narrative experience, and it's, you know, in essence, you're like a mercenaries team in the Infinity universe, kind of going out doing contracts, getting paid, and growing along the way. And the goal with kind of the limited insertion, almost the smaller lists, was you can kind of theme to a more tight knit group of mercenaries. That operate maybe more covert or are just kind of like much stronger, more generalist kind of players, but they're limited in how many they can bring.
Yeah, but I could also see it like you keep it a bit smaller so that the battles are shorter, but you can also handle all those extra rules you're chugging on with this system with a smaller army so that you don't have to contend with also a 300 point list or...
Yeah, well, the thing is we are not chugging in a lot of extra rules. Like there are some small tweaks, like to balance the things in. But like basically, we play a normal game of Infinity with like a slight rebalance, like Total Immune and like other things. But it's a normal game of Infinity. Like everything that you play with Infinity on the table, you can use in Mercenaries. Maybe upside from like link teams, because it's not about the link teams. It's about the personalities in the on the table. But then like the extra stuff is added in the post game.
Oh yeah, so in the downtime you can start tweaking your forces before you get into the next battle.
Yeah, basically like the experience, the gear you buy, the money you earn, the injuries, it's all after the game. So basically the game is fast, and then you like spend another half an hour to like tally up the results and do the random rolls, etc.
Yeah,
the game actually follows the Infinity rule set extremely close. There's only a total of 20 changes overall to the rule set, and most of those are fairly logical and are just kind of extensions of the way things work, such as like metachemistry and booty. You don't want to be rolling, for every battle you go.
Yeah, that was one of the things that was different in the original version of the rules. But then we basically reverted it back to how it works in normal Infinity. But since we are like in the like metachemistry or booty, you are rolling at the start of the game. But here it doesn't make sense for the mercenary trooper to like randomly like roll to a game with an HMG or like Mimetis minus six. Like, he should bring it to the team. Like, you just found this mercenary and he had this cool gear. So we changed it so it's like one-time roll. I like how you brought like the narrative aspect, Sneaky Snake. Because like I am a numbers person. I'm basically a player. So most of my teams have a blank space for their narrative. And I know that there are other players that like to write their narratives. But what I found lately is by the games I play, the narrative builds themselves. Like I had this last team that was the Genau, what was the name? Genau Naiman. And that was a Bakunin team run by moderator who was to engineer the robots basically, and during the first one or two games he basically gained his own personality for me, because like his games were so brutal. Like, he was just this nobody, but the enemy teams were ending with broken kneecaps due to a downtime event, or like totally incapacitated, or everybody was dead. So the story grew from those games. So in the end, it was Rolf Kowalski, the Serbian mafia guy, yeah, with his robots.
Yeah, that's like an aspect that I really love about Mercs as well. Is I've got like a single captain who has been going on every single like every single reiteration of Mercs, and so it's just really fun to kind of like, I guess, like have a own your like your own little narrative of like this person like moving around the galaxy and taking on contracts and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice this about your teams.
Yeah, I remember Saint Sophia distinctly. Is this the Merc?
Yeah. So this is the captain that I use for every single Merc team that I create. It's basically like this Catholic person who was recruited by the church from Pan-Oceania and is basically just moving around the galaxy and trying to go on like pilgrimages and stuff, and it's really funny.
And ends up in shootouts.
Oh yeah, obviously.
Because you take regular armies and you turn them into mercenaries. Not like that, and everyone is just stuck to NA2 lists.
Yeah,
yeah, that's one of the real highlights, example, I think, too. Is a lot of like, I think traditionally broken profiles, not in terms of strength, but in terms of unusability, end up actually being pretty useful in Mercs, because sometimes you're just looking for kind of like base stat lines or like base skill combinations, and it doesn't really matter what kind of gear they have because you can equip those as you go. And even to an extent, you can adjust their skills and their competencies along the way as well. So. Yeah. That's a really fun one. Is you get to play with a lot of profiles that you might not normally in the game.
Yeah.
Like I plan on taking a Rem Driver in the upcoming season and kind of see where that goes. But you know, no one really takes that profile. And in fact, I think I'm going to take the CC Rem Driver and Let's try to go. Make some sort of CC bot monster. But
dirty
fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like I never ever played with a Rem Driver nor faced one, so that's I'm interested in what you're gonna get.
Yeah, like even bears, I know like from personal experience there's a lot of people who will run bears, and they actually sometimes end up being like weaker units, because like you, by the time people can afford bears, you're older mercenaries who have grown a lot have like viral and stuff, and so they can kind of just like, you know, just walk over bears and it doesn't even really matter.
Good for you, here, eat my viral.
The most successful bear that I've seen was a shooting bear, and so you get like an HMG and was kind of like a budget tag in some ways.
By the time you run a bear, the opponent has like a BS-15 marksmanship MSV2 viral sniper.
Yep.
And then you start to think, oh, I can run a killer hacker bear with BTS-9, right? Right.
Killer hacker bear with BTS-9.
Yeah, there's a special suit of armor you can purchase that gives you a large amount of BTS, among nothing else. But in certain ways it works, and you can kind of maximize the benefit by taking a profile that normally has zero BTS.
Yep. And then you realize that your viral combi doesn't do anything.
Yeah. So there is a certain golden profile for mercenaries that is usually good to take. It's basically a cheapish, frenzy, good CC, heavy infantry. So it's like a Domaru, Asawira, something like this. It's basically a good profile to build from. It usually has good stats, and stats usually hackable, but you can fix that both ways. You can change it later to like a light infantry or and reduce the number of wounds it has. You can up arm it if you want. You can like buy a killer hacking device or something else. With my last team, I wanted to switch it up a bit and see if I can not go into CC, because like all those pros are just slap in CC. So I took the remotes. And it was fun. It was a totally different thing. I had a, like a flash boost bot that had like a willpower 16 and hacking device plus with non-lethal plus one burst. So I could like pop two white noise areas in one order. That was fun. Like weird. But,
like how's the process that you can get all this kit? Because we're now like we're throwing out profiles people never dreamed of. Somehow they get so to play with this.
It just builds on itself, right? You can kind of imagine we try to price things actually relatively in the ballpark of kind of what they're priced in Infinity already. Yeah. So you can imagine like an HMG is around 20 points.
So you got a whole list of things that you can buy with.
Yeah, you can purchase almost any equipment in the game. Yeah. With the exception of really exotic stuff.
Yeah, like for example, in our last change from like a version of the rules 1.3 to 1.4, the biggest change was to delete the EMCCW from something from the list of weapons that is readily available and put it behind a random roll for the downtime, so that you have to actually go to the arms dealer and roll a die, and you have a chance to roll an EMCCW, because everybody started deploying like, okay, Asawira, okay, slap an EMCCW on it. Like, okay, a bear, okay, I slap EMCCW on it. So we are now just tweaking like those small little like quality of life, I would say, changes.
So take me through it. You play a battle, you win some, you lose some. How do you say that you get like have things in the end to spend?
So the first thing, we have missions. Like we have a original Lyron's contract annex that included like six missions, and then additional four missions that I translated from our local like boarding action missions into mercenaries. So that's 10 missions. Then we have four missions that are created by various players like Russians and Dre and others, and they are translated into mercenaries as well. So we have 14 well-played and tested missions, out of which like 12 are really good and balanced. And then we have like four of my crazy creation unhinged missions that one of them works, sort of. And then we have in the works like some other Beast Hunter missions. So basically we have a pool of missions. And as we play each games, each season, we, from those like 14 missions, we pick like eight changing list of missions, but there are some that are good at the start of the league, some are later. And basically the missions are follow the same format as Infinity missions. So you basically do the objectives, you score the points, and then the difference is that you get paid for how well you do in the mission.
Yeah.
And then your mercenaries also gain personal experience points for doing a list of things during the mission, like engineering, doctoring, clicking a console, like killing an opponent in some missions. So there's a list of things. So if you want to like have a person, a mercenary, like just swim in experience, then you need like an engineer, doctor, flash pulls, fort observer that clicks things and kills stuff in melee. And so then this person will most likely gain a lot of XP, but he needs to see a lot of play. And then there are thresholds for the experience, and so those are the level ups, and there are currently I think 6 or 8 levels, but I have never seen any player like reach like the 6th level, I think.
In addition, you score points based on, or you gain money based on the difficulty of the player you're paired against as well, to help compensate for mismatches.
So that's the underdog mechanic, basically. So you get like a percentage of the opponent player's team.
Yeah.
And then you can go ahead and use everything that you've earned to either get like gear and stuff or save up and buy more units or profiles.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But also part of the process is that guys get hit. And
yeah, so if your guys go down, they can get injured.
Yeah.
So there's a random roll chart for injuries, and those will persist unless you heal them off, spending money, or you sit them out to rest.
Yes, these are not lethal. Like, there is no dying in mercenaries. Like, you could be useless for the team, and you can just basically be retired, but that's another story. It rarely happens, but it sometimes happens. But basically, one injury is fine. You can still play with it. It's like something that you might sometimes not even realize that you have, like for example, a Morlock that gains like -1 to be ballistic skill. Yeah, probably you will not spend the money to heal him.
No. He has his chain rifle, he can find a way.
But then once you have like 3 or 4 injuries, like if your team gets smacked and you have like your primary gunfighter like sporting like -1 to BS, like movement -2 to the first movement, like -2 to the willpower, -2 to the physical, then it's
all right, grandpa, it's time to go.
Exactly. And then you just start to realize that, yeah, maybe I on my next downtime, I really don't want to go buy new weapons. I want to go to see the doctor, right?
Yeah.
I really like what we have right now with the downtime.
Yeah,
talk about the downtime. Those are really fun.
Yeah, so basically we have this procedure where basically after the game, after you calculate the experience points and the injuries you have, then basically you choose what you want to do. And there are things that you can do that are more risky or less risky. Basically, you choose if you want to like R&R for your team, like relax and do nothing fancy, or do you want to like go and try to buy this plasma gun, or do you want to go and like have some fun and games and like some potential for like a lucky random stat improvement. But each of them comes with a different risk, and you can choose to send a different number of players there, so you can like manage the risk a little bit, but then if you don't pass the test that they have to pass, then there is this disaster tracker, and here the Rolf Kowalski earned his name, because you can have the team have basically broken kneecaps for the next game if something bad happens. But you can basically choose what you want to pursue after the game. You can choose to go for the Intel man to have an edge in the next mission, for example, earn twice the money for the next mission or something. You can go, if you have an injured person, you can go for the services and try to secure like half price healing for one of your guys. So there is a lot of like choice there. I think, and it actually improves the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got this extended downtime game with all the buying, and then you go in with whatever you bought, whatever you healed, whatever you grabbed onto, and play the next game. And then you get like these 8 sessions, and but you say you're playing on for like now a 1.5 year. So can people still join in? What's the idea?
Yes, basically we are now after our 9th season. So season was like basically between 2 to 3 months, or like 8 to 12 games.
Yeah.
And we are looking to start our 10th season sometime in June, most likely late June.
Yeah.
2023. Yeah. Now it's 2023. Yes, that's correct. So anybody can join in TTS.
Everyone just starts from the bottom again, or what's the idea?
Yes, everybody will start from the bottom. So everybody creates their own team and battle for the top.
Now, what happens if people want to join late? We're still doing the you can still join late, correct? And leave early?
Yes, absolutely. That's no problem. Everybody is just having fun. Basically, if you join like after like a game or two is played, you still have a good shot at the like top five of the teams. I would say like if you join like halfway through, you are not looking to win, but you can still have fun, especially if you have more people than joining at the same sort of time. And you can also drop out if life happens or you just want to switch a team. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. fine.
Mm. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned because this is a for fun first activity that we like to emphasize. And so, you know, if you are interested in this, but you don't have the time right now or in the next few weeks, or maybe you've only got, you know, a few weeks of time, yeah, feel free to join and play a little bit.
Yeah.
Tag along. And It's casual. Yeah,
and after the season, so the games played, so it's like either like 12 or 8 games. We are leaning towards the 8 right now.
Yeah.
So 8 games. We mark the top 3 teams, and we give them the sponsors. And a sponsor basically is something like an added challenge for the next season. Yeah. So basically, if you win, you gain a reward, like some extra money to spend on your starting team, but then you have to adhere to the sponsor requirements. So the sponsor might be like, for example, Boy League Corp sponsor is like half of your team must be irregular.
So you get a challenge, yeah.
Yeah. And then you gain like some token XP for doing some extra stuff for the sponsor, but it's not much. Basically, it's an added challenge. So yeah, that if you have players that are constantly winning, they will be running those wacky off-meta teams because they will be running sponsored teams.
But what's the winning factor? Is it won games or is it like who has the most money gained for the...
It's based on renown, which is kind of a combination of things. But it's essentially how well known is your mercenary group among the stars.
Yeah, renown is like a combination of XP and the value of your troopers. Mm-hmm. It's basically a summary of those.
And there's also a component of winning games as well. Can add to your renown.
Yes. Like each game won adds 10 to the renown of your team. So basically, yeah. But we are still like toying with some other scoring ideas, but it's nothing set in stone right now. But basically it's renown. So right now.
So yeah, you made a list of good, bad, and ugly. So so what's good in the narrative campaign? What's good?
For me, the good is like the crazy stories. Like I'm not a very creative player for like creating stories for my teams, but here the stories just write themselves of the games that I play. I feel very connected with all my mercenary companies. I had like 16 or 18 of them so far. And each of them has left like a story in my mind. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're kidding him all over. Guys get wounded, you get them. I like things like Blood Bowl, so yeah, I can relate to what's happening.
Yeah. Aside from Rolf Kowalski, I think one of my favorite stories is in one of the previous version of the rules, we could have like a players not play in the game and like sit on the bench but still like generate value for the team. And this resulted in Dre's Dr. Asawira, Dr. Jabir, basically setting his own clinic on the side. Basically, that was a doctor that reached the peak experience very early because of stellar performance in the games, and there was no sense of actually him playing anymore because he was more adding more value to the team just sitting down. So basically that was like him setting up his clinic. So I actually made a map for mercenaries that is Dr. Jabir's clinic, so you can play in his clinic, basically like bloodstained tables, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he brings because of the XP that he brings, he heightens up the renown. But if you would use him, he would only get wounded and lose.
We edited it out. We patched it out because it ended up being a little bit. It made for some less interesting broken mechanics. But in previous iterations, if you sat your troops out, they would generate half of their renown as RP, something like that. So if you got So there was a point in which a trooper was more valuable on the bench than on the field. And we changed it because we liked the idea of, you know, just the powerhouses kind of going at each other at the end of the seasons. But it did lead to some fun stories.
You don't want to get into a position that people only sent in the noobs while their really cool units are just sitting,
fact... Was it Dre, Perzan? I don't remember. I think it was Dre versus you. But I remember the finals of one season was someone put all of his troopers except for one on the bench, and he had his trooper go into hidden deployments and do nothing the entire game, I think.
Yeah, he
and
had, that was he how had he his won. Captain, because the captain had to be deployed, and he had hidden deployment. And he hidden deployed his captain and played for 4 turns of nothing. And then it came down to the downtime, and I still won because I rolled like 1 XP more than him. But that was like very anticlimactic, so we edited this out.
But yeah, we're gonna end this final in bureaucracy.
Yes.
That's what no one wants.
Yeah. So another good thing in Mercenaries, I think, is like the trying to fix the profiles. Like, you see all those profiles in Infinity that are like this close to greatness. Like, for example, for me, one of those was like a Vostok. So the Vostok is like an amazing to wound mimetism -6 mark 12 climbing plus robot that is fat. imagine what you can do with this robot with a repeater, and imagine you can for example slap plus 2 BS on it with viral sniper, MSV2, and extra wound like NWI, and a symbiomate.
Oh no!
And then you can make an engineer.
Oh no! So you got like a
2 wound NWI engineer robot with structure.
Yeah, and with the remote presence, so the second level of if it goes into a second level of unconscious, still counts as NWI, so the thing won't die.
Exactly.
And then he repairs himself back up.
Oh no.
On another side of the spectrum, imagine you can have like a Domaru. That is an okay profile for starters with a chain rifle, but then imagine you downgrade it to only armor 2 and only 1 wound NWI. What's the reason for it? Like, the reason is to make it light infantry.
Yeah.
And it's no longer hackable. And then he can toss this like 70 EM grenades on 17s and not be hacked.
Yeah, I was about to say, kind of going off of what you were saying earlier, something that's really great is that if there's parts of Infinity that you think like are, oh, like this is too broken for whatever reason, and because of the way Mercs is structured, you can basically like make it to where you don't have to interact with that, like that side of Infinity. Mm-hmm. Like as Persian was saying, you can just make all of your guys 2 wound light infantry, and then you don't ever have to worry about hacking. I mean, I guess there's still like spotlight, but
they make everybody rare, though. They're a very high investment in this.
Generation. Nobody really. I don't think I've ever actually come across somebody that's done guided.
I think Dre is really trying to make a team with guided work.
I think it's impossible now, right? Because like there's no more.
You can start with the Cosmoflot, like the Ariadna remotes, because the 5 points have guided on their profile.
Do they still have guided? I thought they removed
it. Yeah, and I think you can have like a guided shotgun on them or something. That sounds ridiculous already.
No, so they actually removed it, Perzan.
Oh no.
Because I was looking at that to do that maybe for this upcoming season, and they I don't know when they did it.
Yeah, but we added the BS attack guided as a skill or something. It's it costs like an ungodly amount of SWC for mercenaries.
Yeah.
Oh, which skill? Is it an armor?
I think it's an armor, like a skill, something. Doesn't really matter. Okay.
Doesn't really matter.
You will have like 6 orders for this, like 7 orders, like for all your setup, and so you don't want to do this.
It's also just not as fun when there's you can make really silly things that are very fun to play with.
Like the small fixes, like for example, imagine a chimera and then slap a repeater on her. For this like crazy hacking team that you have, and they have like a totally immune light infantry chimera that is a repeater, with Eclipse, and just sit somewhere in an annoying spot.
We didn't go over it earlier, I don't think, but
So what else do we have here?
What did you want to say, Sneaky?
Oh yeah, I think there was I don't know if we went over this already, but there we were within like mercenaries. You don't get like, or you don't like really just start off with SWIC. You kind of have to earn it over time.
Yeah.
And it's only 0.5 per game. And so that's why, like, whenever Persian was talking about how it's really expensive to get guided missile, it's because it costs a lot of SWIC. So, like, you can only get it after, like, what, 4 games, I think, since it's.
Yeah. And it denies you your very important, like, HMG as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My favorite profile that I made was I ran an all dog team from Caledonia for one of my first seasons. And this was the first season after some major changes, and my dog rolled when we had some more choice-based XP, and my dog rolled camouflage and infiltration. And so I got to play a season with a infiltrating camo Cameronian, and it was pretty fun to get to roll naturally on 13s and then throw grenades in your face.
Yeah. I think I remember, somebody was running an airborne deployment bear.
Oh, yeah.
At some point. That was fun.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I remember I had like this Kurikuri that had neurocinetics. And I think it also had an HMG, and I was just so confident that I could beat anybody. And then this guy just like parachuted a bear from off the table and just totally wrecked my poor.
Yeah. And there's ways to increase your fizz as well. So, you can combat jump a bear anywhere on the map on, like 16 sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, the funny part though is like everybody has a unit like that, so it actually ends up being balanced in a really weird way.
Yeah, the games are often very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unless you really go for a meme that is very, very taxing for the team development, that doesn't really happen often, and you have to work really hard to like find something that doesn't work. The Mercs are fun. They're fast. Like it's an hour to an hour and a half to play in TTS, and that's fast gameplay. Yeah. And that's 4 turns because all Mercs games are the last 4 turns. Mm-hmm. So basically, even though you're fielding 6 guys, there is an extra order for the Mercs and Lieutenant order. So you're running like 8 orders times 4. So that's 32 orders per game. So it's not that different than a normal game of Infinity in the amount of orders. Mm-hmm. If nobody dies, obviously. But then again, like there is this mechanic like to allow you to stay in the game that all the troopers, basically there is no bad outcome for healing in game. So the killing your own troopers with a medikit is gone in Mercenaries. That's one of the changes. And on top of that, there is a chance that each of the troopers will regen on like a physical -6 at the start of the turn.
Mm-hmm. If they're unconscious.
And they will not generate the other, but still, like that's that's very that's something that allows for those like comebacks.
And we have mechanics as well to incentivize not killing as well, but rather maiming or kind of bringing people down. So yeah, it kind of helps to keep troops on the board in a rewarding way.
And the thing is, like, if there is no loss of lieutenant, always like your highest willpower merc will take care of your team. So even if you are down to one guy, usually he has three orders to himself. Yeah. So that's still quite a lot to do, possible to do with.
Yeah, I want to emphasize something Perzan said as well, that the games take about 1 to 2 hours, which is really great because it is, you know, like it's a consistent game of Infinity that you're playing. So it's not actually nearly as big of a time commitment as you might think playing like a game of Infinity a week or every other week.
Yeah.
It's much easier than that. In fact, a lot of times I'll just play it kind of on a lunch break. And it works out well for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah. And then you can also take your sweet time when going into downtime, because
you can do the downtime, like you don't have to do this like sit in the game. We have a channel for that, like you can do all the roles in the Discord, so you can just do this in your leisure time. And also, like, sometimes the banter in the channel is amazing after the game, or like somebody's just like trying to outwit the opponents. Yeah, but everybody is very friendly. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have had any bad experience. Maybe like some early plays, like there was one player maybe who was like a bit dragging some of the things, mm-hmm. but so far, yeah, that's.
Oh, another good thing that we should probably mention: anyone who's scared of all these numbers and all the kind of like stuff driving these profiles, we have a really excellent script in Excel that takes care of pretty much all of it for you.
Yeah,
So. It's not nearly as difficult as it might sound, like with all the numbers flying at you. And
yeah, because
it
you
creates
have to,
the TTS profiles as well, so it's extremely easy to kind of grab those from the Excel sheet and paste them into a model.
Because that's the ease of TTS, that you can put your +2 ballistic skill and just put it on the model that you use in TTS.
Yeah, basically we have like the script that creates this TTS profile that you just copy paste onto the model in TTS, and it uses all those mercenaries like stuff like guns and armor and etc. But I think like in the Dark Ages of Mercenaries were like first or second season, like the Dre used actually a ward for his team, and I always like went a bit more gray when I looked into his team roster to like find all the information. Like once I read into it, it was perfectly clear because he had kept the continuity. Mm-hmm. What happened, but it was like basically a wall of text instead of the tables. So it was a totally different thing. But we had somebody in our channel, in Discord, actually automate some of the post-game. So basically you go into mission complete sheet and you choose a game and then you choose who is fielded and it calculates like the XP of the guys. And there is like drop-down menus for like what happened for your injuries and like for the downtime. It cleans this like data keeping part a lot. But then again, like I know that some of our TTS players have went and started their own metas playing Infinity Mercenaries in real life. At least a few. Yeah, so I feel that's another angle that is awesome, really.
Yeah.
And just going off of like what Persian was kind of touching on is like this definitely adds a whole different aspect to the hobby. I'll go into a little bit of like what I do, but whenever there's a new mercenary league, I will usually buy or strip 6 models that I own and then just repaint them as like whatever my faction is. And then I just scan them into TTS and I've got like my 6 little guys. And so it's really fun because it gives you interesting ideas for paint schemes. And then you can kind of like paint up and proxy your Infinity models as whatever your mercenaries are.
Yeah.
And so that's a really great aspect.
Oh yeah.
I think my favorite of yours were he had one iteration with Saint Sophia where he had kind of like the Knights of the Flower. And so there are a bunch of pink knights running around on the table and they all have like pretty flowers painted all over them.
That was fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I really like about mercenaries, like something that we mentioned, but I don't think we actually put enough effort, enough emphasis on, is that you choose 2 sectorials. And like, imagine what the composition of the army. So one of my older teams was Kapu Kalki and Onyx. Mm-hmm. And this was like a Havza engineer. And then Total Reaction Camilles, and then Umbra Legats.
Oh, so you go cross faction as well.
Yes, exactly.
Oh no.
And, like, you can have like an Ikadron Batroid and T1-U1 in one team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to search for what were other cool combinations, like Hassassin Bahram and Cosmo Flood is always fresh, I would say, for the Asawira Bear combo.
Oh, how many Assassins players did we have last time?
Lots.
Oh man, before the impersonation edit, there were a lot.
Oh yeah.
I think there were 3 Assassins players in the season before I played.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Impersonation, like every mercenary knows themselves, like their team.
Yeah. So
this is like the fluff reason, but like, man, the impersonators were not cool.
No.
Yeah, because there's already broken profiles, but and that is like one of the, I guess, almost downsides. It can be difficult to balance profiles, but the silver lining of that is they often don't come out until 7 to 8 games, or 6 games plus in. And everyone's got some good stuff by then.
Yeah.
The problem with Fidaes is that they were just in your face too zero strong SWC. On day one. And
the only impersonator with 0 SWC was the Fidaes. So you started with a Fidaes. And mm-hmm. then, like, imagine you have a Fidaes that is heavy infantry, hacker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You go first and you win.
So one thing that would I would say maybe we can go to the slightly bad things is maybe the.
Want to ask what happens if, because we are talking about growth, but what if you lose? What if you lose your game?
Oh right, yeah. Basically, you don't earn as much. Probably you have some injuries to walk off. But aside from that, you gain experience, probably a bit less than the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
But then once the season keeps rolling, you still earn like this token XP for the token RPs or renown requisition points for the opponent's value. So even though you don't actually do the objectives in the mission, you still earn something. So
yeah, it could be significant too. I had one season where I was significantly ahead of one of the players I played, and I think I scored max points and got a bunch of XP, and he still earned, I think, more money by the end of it than I did. Just because
he was taking on a heavier, better team.
Yeah, because of the deficit. So if you lose, it's often because there's a deficit in the renown between you. And so you do earn money that way as well. So you don't really ever end up in a situation where you snowball the other way. Some people will snowball ahead, but you never really snowball behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we are trying to modify the missions slightly because some of the missions reward for the killing. We are trying to move away from this. There are like 2 good missions that are basically non-lethal missions that are always good for the start of the season. And we are trying to like at some point rework the missions slightly to reward like mission completion and maybe add some asymmetry to the mission objectives for the players. But it's really hard to balance. So
yeah. We have one asymmetric mission already, I think.
I like my unhinged mission were also asymmetric, but it didn't end well for them so far. So we'll be reworking them at some point. But I would like to point out that we, over the 18 months, we actually had almost 300 games played and recorded. So that's solid. Quite a lot of games to have data of and like base some semblance of balance on. I think we are getting somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds amazing. But what is bad about it?
Yeah, for me, I think if you don't like dice, then Mercenaries might put you off because you have fewer models, so every dice roll matters more.
Yeah, and we've done a little bit to mitigate that, especially when it comes to downtime and experience. You have a lot more choice than you did in Mercenaries a year and a half ago. But there is dice in this game more so than probably even normal Infinity. And it's meant to be taken a little bit more casually and a little bit more with a narrative emphasis where you kind of embrace the randomness.
I mean, you can still like go against the BS 18 marksmanship neurocinetics viral sniper with MSV2 and just cannot leave the deployment zone, and then your guy can go unconscious because he's shock immune, and then you can reason on a 4. So that's dice still, right?
Yeah.
There are certain mechanics that are inbuilt into them that into the mercenaries that allow for some control of it, but it's still random in game. So if you just like maybe trading up with your cheap Liberto with templates versus like 3 or 4 teams guys in a team, while in mercenaries you will trade up with or trade down maybe with one guy, and it will be order intensive and dice basically. So the trades are a bit more, I would say, random.
Yeah. But I'd say it's more like a controlled randomness. Like you don't really ever get stuff that you totally don't want. It's more that you might not get the exact thing that you were wanting, but you always.
Dre and I work pretty still hard to work make sure that there's never feels bad dice. Nothing should feel bad. Sometimes things don't feel as good, but nothing should feel bad.
Yeah. Like another bad thing is at some point you might run into just bad feeling profiles, like the profiles from your nightmares. Like the somebody would have a mercenary. Bear. Yeah. A killer hacker bar with BTS-9, like,
yeah,
what do I do about it? What do I do about it? Like, I ended up, like, throwing EM grenades speculatively with a Chimera on it. It was dodging on 16s, goddammit. But still, it rolled a 1. So, dice.
The
hacker fidei, like the Scourgian, so the Sujan with MSV, like BS-17 marksmanship and HMG. It was scary. That's like Scourgian. Still.
Yeah. And on rare occasions, you can end up in like very bad matchups where you might have a very like front loaded CC team kind of deal, and they've got the MSV2. Sniper that's going to keep you down, and but for the most part it's not a super concern. But there are like absurd profiles for sure that appear, but you get to make them as well, so
your own absurd to face it with.
That's one thing about it, and another thing is like in an hour you will be out of this game and into the next one,
and you'll gain stuff along the way.
Exactly. For me, I'm basically tournament player. I usually prep for tournaments. When I play with in my free time, I usually prep for another tournament. I do the missions. I try to fine tune my lists, and the mercenaries are just nothing like that. It's just like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sending exotic, weird, eccentric things you made during 5 games against each other and see what happens in an hour.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about win or lose, it's about the journey.
Yeah, exactly. So what about the ugly?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say like sometimes the fights might feel uneven, but they are still winnable.
We're constantly trying to adjust the missions and the balance to make sure that even in really bad fights, there might be ways for you to win the mission or lots of goals for you to do. And the XP is nice as well when you're in a super uneven match. Sometimes you can benefit just for kind of like trying to farm XP where you can.
Yeah.
You don't need to win every game to win the league or be like in the top scoring position in the league. Like you can have some like really bad matchups. You can lose like 2 games and gain enough XP and earn enough renown to actually still be up for the top. So it's not the end of the world.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. So it gets on that level. It gets a bit more tactical than not just win or lose, but getting your goals in and focusing on them.
Yeah, there is a meta game kind of with RP as well, knowing when to kind of like sit people out to get kind of like injuries picked back up and when to make tactical choices to go for more RP versus more XP, stuff like that. But there is kind of a meta game, but
I think there was more meta game in previous seasons. I think right now we cut down on some like sitting on RP, like renown, not spending all RP. Basically, it used to be a thing where you could actually not spend your money, go as an underdog for a few games, and then like spend this ridiculous amount of money on like an Asura or something, and
try to slingshot to the top.
Yeah, I think right now it's gone because we are like calculating total RP. I don't know if it's good or bad. Like I like the possibility of some plays like that, but I don't think it was working right. We'll see. It's constantly evolving. So what you hear now, like in half a year, like it might be another like 1.5 version or something with some slight changes. But right now we are in a good spot.
Yeah.
So
that's probably another thing to mention the ugly as well is that this is a pretty casual game mode, right? But we are still hosting this version right now in IGL, and so a lot of the people do still have a fairly competitive spirit. Even saying that, the most competitive games I've played have still remained pretty casual, and always lighthearted. That is something to just be aware of, is that a decent amount of the players do have a competitive edge to them here.
I would just say you might just run into good players. Like,
yeah.
That's true.
I don't know. I put it in the ugly, but the sponsors, that's wholly my idea, like the sponsors, like the added challenge. So basically, if you win, then you get rewarded with another challenge for the next round. So the idea was taken from the roguelike computer games where you can like actually add some challenge so that the game is harder for you, but then you get like, I don't know, you just feel better winning it this way because you are just too good.
It can make for some fun team themes as well.
Yeah, they might just also, some of them are just a bit too limiting, I would say. Like, for example, there is one that you have every second of your troopers has to have like neurocinetics, I would say. No, it's like a Camo Zero or something.
Oh, I remember the Hellot team.
It basically limits you to like a rockets or helots. That's it. So basically you have two sectorials to choose from, and it's really hard to actually make a competitive team out of them.
It was the Bicoys. Didn't you call them the Bicoys because you played a bunch of Helots with the decoys? And it was one of the
Bi teams. Bicoys. Yeah, yeah. All my Bi teams are like with Bi in the name. Yeah, it was Bicoys. Yeah, it was decoy. Yeah, with Bi. So
yeah, it was like five or six like Helots or something, and like one or two other a Siegewan, I think, and like one other decent profile or something.
Yeah,
it was funky.
Yeah. So, but to sum it up, basically, I really like where we are now in the with the downtime. There is plenty of choice, and there is some randomness, but you have control. Basically, the experience tables are divided into like ballistic skill table, CC table, command table, like utility table. So basically, if you go to the level up and this. For example, you choose, okay, so this guy is going to be the shooter. So then you roll on the BS table, but it might not always be the right choice. But that's up to you. And then, like, the really broken skills we have hidden as the second level up. So basically, whenever you choose a table, there is a dice roll, and then you get like a skill like plus one BS, for example. And then the real juicy stuff, like the marksmanship, like the mimetism minus six or something like this, is hidden after the second level up. So you have to roll the same number on the next level up again to get the broken skill. So I think that's not working better, because like I remember in the early versions of the mercenaries, I had like a Liberto that on the first level up wrote like mimetism minus six. That was another level, I would say. I had fun.
Your opponents not so much.
we try to keep things a little
polite
for that. Like you can't even earn infiltration unless you get forward deployment first, is a good example.
Oh yeah.
Because of your Camoronian, right?
Yeah, that was actually before some of these changes, and so he randomly rolled camouflage and then an infiltration like very swiftly after. So it was on something like game 4 or 5 that I had the camo infiltrating dog.
Some other things. Yeah, I think the script for the TTS, like for playing in TTS in the IGL, like the script for the profiles is neat, because you have all the information in game. You just hover over the models as normal in TTS, and then you have your mercenary profile that is up to date if you updated them.
And you can take advantage of Fall's wonderful 3D mod as well if you want to kind of take like certain themed painted models that people have made. Someone should go make a Holy Grail team and use Perzan's models.
Yeah, we also have the maps. Mostly are committed by me. Some of them are taken from other players, like Temporal Distortion, or some of them are just like normal TTS maps with an overlay slab that cuts down on the playing area, because Mercenaries is played basically like on a 150. No, it's like a normal depth of the game area, but it's narrower, so it's like
It's not 30. I thought it was 36 by 36. It's 36 by 48.
Yeah, something like this. Or 42 by 48, something like this. Yeah. So basically, there is a little bit less room on the table, but it's still pretty deep.
Yeah.
So we have maps, and what I found is like the maps can be like shit, really, because you only have six troopers. So the map can have like one place in DZ to hide, and you can still deploy all your troopers unless you play six bikes. Then that's difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Six bikes are but then even in a normal game, you would have a very hard time.
Yeah. But if you want to do it, you can make a biker gang.
Yeah, I made my Dioke a biker. Because it was infuriating how slow he was, and there was much rejoicing.
Well, for you.
Yes. And for Dre, because he get to play the Daiokai. Yeah, he also rejoiced with the Daiokai. The Daiokai killed, like almost killed two Vostok's Chimera, and the Sin Eater almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, guys, this sounds like wacky fun. Like, this is the kind of madness, if you have a knack for narrative campaigning and some randomness in your game, but also have a bit of creating a story around your force while it grows in experience and money. I think this is a good campaign to join in. So, when is the next season coming up?
It's late June, most likely, maybe early July 2023, something like this. And you can join earlier. If you head over to the IGL Discord, where you should be right now already, there is a Mercenaries chat in the leagues and tournaments. And then there are pinned messages with like the rule set, the missions, the rosters for your team that you can just copy to your Google Drive and then fill in. And there is like a registration form for you to join in. But you can just ask questions there, and there will always be somebody to engage in a friendly conversation with you.
Yeah, we'll put all the links in the show notes so that people can find their way. So guys, any last things to add about this thing, like a short elevator pitch on why to join?
I mean, like, there's a lot of reasons to join. Probably at the forefront would be you want a narrative experience, you want an RPG, or you've always wanted to play, you know, with a bear with a hacking device or something like that. this is really the place to like experiment with that. We really like to keep it a place for fun, experimentation, trying new things. We're pretty open to changes suggested by people just in the Discord and our own community here. So it's a constantly evolving thing as well that you can have influence on if you get involved, and we'd love to have you. It's a great time.
Yep. Yeah, I really love like when I have the 2 hours during like the day, like on and off, like thinking if I want to include like a Feuerbach on my Daiokai or do I want to buy somebody else, or like do I want like MSV2, can I afford it with Feuerbach, would like MSV1 and maybe the autocannon would be better, I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's another great reason to play. If you love Infinity but you don't really have the full time for a 4-hour game on TTS, you know, you can play Mercs in about an hour to two, so it's a lot easier to finish.
Yeah, even on TTS, yeah. Those are some good pitches to start in, so let's see what the next season will bring in the coming June, so people join in, have some fun with it, and guys, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Crazy stories, man. I left all out.
See you in the Mercenaries world.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, sure. Guys, any shout outs you'd like to make?
Laraon, yeah, the original creator. He's the one, he's the reason we are playing this and we still love the game.
Yep.
Definitely Laraon. Also Dre.
Yeah, Dre.
Dre has been coming up with the rule set changes, and he's done a large portion of the work, so he really deserves a lot of credit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also shout out Norfolkot, who won the first and second season and showed us like some brokenness of the profiles.
Yep,
and then the tweaking had to begin.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome. Like, yeah, I think I will join in the next Mercenary set because this is I need to play a different way and pique my interest a bit with other stuff. And this sounds right up my alley. So
I'll be really excited to have you.
Yeah,
nice. So I will be joining in coming June, and listeners, hope you also join in, and see you all next time.